of saints and their walk, from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. This is your host, Ken Johnston, today. And fortunately for Father McKay, unfortunately for us, he won't be joining us today. Father's getting a well-deserved vacation this week and next. So we'll have some special guests today as well as next week. And before we get to our guests, I just want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and for your continued support of this show and all the others here at In His Sign that take place between 4 and 6 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. So, you know, keep those prayers coming especially, but your financial donations don't hurt it either. So keep them coming as well so we can continue to pay the expenses and keep this show alive and well. And speaking of expenses, we're going to have our fundraiser is really close now. On Monday, October the 9th, we'll be having our annual golf outing out at Indian Valley Country Club. We'll be getting together for lunch and dinner with golf in between. During dinner, we'll have a silent auction, again, to raise more of those much-needed funds. So there's still time to register to play golf. There's still time to sign up as a sponsor. You can either call Maureen here at In His Sign or download information off of the website at inhissign.com. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, you'll see a link where you can download a flyer with all the pertinent information on it. Also coming up in November, November 13th to the 17th, will be Kathleen's annual Lumina Christi Healing Retreat. That's going to take place out at the Malvern Retreat House. That'll, again, November 13th to the 17th, starts at 5 o'clock Monday and goes until 9:30 on Friday morning. Ought to be an awesome retreat, as they are each year. And don't get shut out. Register sooner rather than later. And you can do that by going to the Malvern's website at malvernretreat.com or give Malvern a call, 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. If you didn't have a pen in your hand, you'll get it again at the bottom of the hour. So Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anybody else that comes to us. You can learn more about that ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us either through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign, and she'll put you in touch with us, and we'll get something going. So we like to begin the show each week with prayer, so we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization, the patron of this show. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to Thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to Thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to Thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to Thee, especially the enemies of the Holy Church and those recommended to You. Matt Talbot, pray for us, and Our Lady of Recovery, pray for us. This is normally a one-hour call-in show, but because we're going to have a couple of guests that have called in, we don't have a phone line available. But if you do have a question or want to get through, you can call in, and they can relay the message to me. But we won't be able to bring you in live on the air. So the number's here, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. We're currently in the 25th week of Ordinary Time, and the saints for this week would be on Tuesday. Yesterday, the 26th, we celebrated the Feast of Cosmas and Damian. Today, we celebrate St. Vincent de Paul. Tomorrow, the 28th, we have Lorenzo Ruiz and Companions, as well as St. Wenceslaus. And on Friday the 29th, and we're sorry Father McKay's not here, his favorites, the Archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. So when Father McKay decided to take a vacation and we were looking at who the saints were this week and saw that today was St. Vincent de Paul, I got in touch with a friend of mine, Deacon Kevin Potter, who was ordained in June and currently is a deacon at my home parish, St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside. And he's active with the St. Vincent de Paul Society, so I reached out to him to see if he could join us today. And when I heard back from Kevin, he mentioned that Sam Kuchera, who's also involved in the St. Vincent de Paul Society, he's president of the conference there at St. Luke's, so I've invited both of them to be with us today. And I believe they're on the line. Hello, Deacon Kevin. Hello, Sam.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Very good. So we sent a couple emails back and forth, and I think the way we'll go through the show is maybe we'll start with a little overview on St. Vincent de Paul and the founder of the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and then we can talk about what we do as a conference at St. Luke's, and then about the upcoming walk on Saturday. So, Deacon Kevin, if you want to maybe kick it off and tell us a little bit about St. Vincent de Paul.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Thanks, Ken. Thanks for having us, first of all. It's a blessing for us to participate.
Very good.
St. Vincent de Paul, he was born in France to a poor peasant family in 1581, and his first formal education was actually with the Franciscans. And they taught him so well, and he learned so much, that he was hired out as a tutor to wealthy families in France, where he actually earned his money to put himself into the seminary and study for theology for the priesthood. So he's ordained in 1600, and then for a time he was in a town called Toulouse, and then interestingly enough, in 1605, he was actually captured by some pirates while he was on a ship making a trip, and he was sold into slavery. A few years later, he was able to escape that. And then he went back to France and later to Rome to continue on. He's ordained at this point, but he still continued to study. And he became chaplain of what was known as the Count of Goigny and was placed in charge of distributing money to the poor. And he was also a pastor at the time. And from then on, you know, he was a preacher and he spent his life reaching out to the poor. So he preached missions, worked with the poor. He actually established hospitals, and then he started working also with prisoners and convicts, because at that time, if you owed a debt to somebody, they could throw you into prison. So a lot of the prisoners were poor themselves, so he found himself working with them as well. So then he went on and founded an order of lay women called the Ladies of Charity to help him because his ministry was growing. And then later on, he founded a religious institute of priests, which we know as the Vincentians, as their common name, but they were the congregation of the priests of the missions. So if you ever see a priest with the initials CM after his name, that's a Vincentian priest, congregation of the priests of the mission. And there's nearly 4,000 members in the Vincentian priest, and they're in 86 countries. And St. Vincent de Paul also co-founded the Daughters of Charity with a woman by the name of St. Louise de Marillac. We know the Daughters of Charity, of course, in our own country. Their mother house is in Emmitsburg, Maryland. Mother Seton, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, was a Daughter of Charity. So from the very beginning, very deep in the history of the Vincentian family, we have the Daughters of Charity and the Vincentian priests and the founding of the lay ladies. So St. Vincent de Paul, he died when he was 80 years old, and he's referred to as the Apostle of Charity, and he's called the Father of the Poor. So that's a little bit about St. Vincent de Paul. Interesting little history, wouldn't you think, Ken?
Yeah, no, I agree, and I didn't... In my limited reading about St. Vincent de Paul, Didn't realize that he started out with the Franciscans, not as a member of the Franciscans, but learning from the Franciscans. So it only makes sense that he would have an affiliation to the poor, and as each one of us should. And some of the writings that you read from St. Vincent, and really most of our saints had some kind of interaction with the poor, because after all, that's who Jesus Christ has called us to really minister to. Those of us that that have, or those that are asked to take care of those who don't have. And I think St. Vincent de Paul, and certainly St. Francis of Assisi, and many of our other saints are really good examples of living out that life. And especially in the case of St. Vincent de Paul, because I think, as we'll talk about in a minute, it's not just the priestly orders and the sisters that he founded, but also so many lay people like yourself up until June, and Sam, who's with us, who participate in the various St. Vincent de Paul Society conferences in a lot of the parishes, not just in this area, but around the world. So with that in mind, maybe...
If I could, Ken, I'd also like to introduce Frederick Ozanam.
Yep, that's where I was going, if you want to talk about the founding of the society.
Great. Frederick Ozanam, he's a blessed. He's not a saint yet. He was born in 1813. His father was actually in France. His father was actually part of Napoleon's army. He was a doctor. And they grew up in Italy, but then returned to France. So he returned to France in 1831 and entered university. And he was only 18 years old at the time, and his father encouraged him to get into law. He wanted him to study law. But Frederick was a little bit more sensitive of a soul, and he wanted to study history and philosophy and things like that as well. So while he's studying law, he's also studying history and philosophy. And he found himself at 18 years of age wandering around the streets of Paris and just seeking out some friends who were similar to him and enjoyed the Catholic faith. And in doing so, he noticed the extreme poverty of the working class in France at the time. And a year later, in 1832, there was an epidemic of cholera, which created much stress to the poor throughout France. And at one meeting, he had a group called the Congregation of History. And at one meeting, they're talking and they're debating about where the church is and how the church over history has proven itself to take care of people. And one of the members of his little group challenged him and said, "Well, what's the church doing today for the poor?" And that struck a nerve with Frederick. And immediately, at the age of 19, he goes out and grabs up some friends and forms this society, which becomes the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. So while he's going to law school and college, he's visiting the poor, he's meeting with them, going out to them as a group of lay people. They also took friendship with Sister Rosalie Rondeau, who's also a blessed, and she was a daughter of charity, interesting enough. What a coincidence. Similar to St. Vincent de Paul, who had a daughter of charity that he worked with in St. Louise Marillac, Blessed Frederick, had Blessed Rosalie Rondeau that he worked with, and he learned from the Daughters of Charity what it was like to go out to poor members or to poor people throughout the city of France. And it grew from there. It grew throughout France and into other cities in Europe. And he did this for about 20 years. His health, he had a lot of health problems. It's interesting how a lot of our saints, for some reason, have many health problems. But he actually passed away when he was only 40 years old. And at the time of his passing, the society had 10,000 members in over 133 cities throughout Europe. Today, It has over 1 million members in over 100 countries. And even in countries that don't really care for Catholicism or Christians of any kind, it is flourishing throughout the world. And it, his basic premise was, from Frederick, go to the poor. Go and meet them in their homes. Give them respect and brotherhood. And I'll leave you with a quote of his, and it's very simple. I would like to embrace the world in a network of charity.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. The show each week, we talk about the different saints, and then especially where religious are concerned, the different orders that have come about as a result of some of their lives. And it never fails to intrigue me that how God will raise up, whether it's an order of priests or some sort of society, to meet a need at any given time in history. And for Frederick to, wander the streets of Paris when he did, and to see the poor there in an area that may not have always been that poor, after the French Revolution and those types of things, whether they happen in France or wherever, that, God in his greatness allows Frederick to see this for, see these people for who they really are, the children of God, and who are in need of help. And from that comes, a million-person strong society worldwide that now focuses on meeting the poor where they are. And I think that's what Pope Francis has called us to do, to go out and in this case, meet the poor where they are. In a lot of the work I do, to meet the addicted where they are, and let them know that they're children of God, that they're worthy of all the love and respect that we would give to anybody of means. And so I think it's great work that you and Sam and all those that are involved with the St. Vincent de Paul Society do these days. I haven't had a whole lot of interaction directly, except to know the benefits that some people have been able to get from the society. Back when I was taking communion to the homebound, there were a few of them that were, because of their disabilities and not able to get out to work, would struggle to make ends meet, and the St. Vincent de Paul Society would help them. So I guess I want to bring in Sam, who's the president of the conference there at St. Luke the Evangelist, and maybe talk a little bit, Sam, about the kind of work that you do at the parish level.
Sure, Ken. Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Great to have you with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation, and it's really a pleasure. Our conference at St. Luke's, we're real excited this year that we are celebrating our 100th anniversary, December 16th of this year is our 100th anniversary, and we're just really excited about that. We've had many wonderful men and women before us whose shoulders we stand on in carrying out our mission and to help the poor in our area. So we have our conference is based out of St. Luke's Parish here in Glenside. We have about 18 active members right now, and another nine associate members who share our devotion and mission, and but don't actively participate in our cases. So we meet twice a month. We have a Monday evening meeting, and we also have a gather for a mass one Saturday a month on that. And we always start with prayer. You tend to think about, where's the money coming from? Where's it going? And, how much money do we have in the bank? And money. But that's not what it's all about. It's really, each member pursuing holiness with the support of the friends of our conference, and through the prayer together and the charitable acts that we perform, that's how we go about our business. I've been a Vincentian since about 2010, and I've been the president since 2014. It's interesting that back probably about a couple years before, two or three years before I actually became a Vincentian, someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Hey Sam, I think you might be a good fit for our group, and why don't you join us?" And I said, "Joe, prayed on it, thought about it a lot, and I said, Joe, I just can't do it right now. It's just I got too many things going on, and it's harder for me to say no, but I really have to say no right now." And he said, "Sure, I understand, Sam." And we talked, and we passed each other, see each other at church and through the neighborhood. And, a couple years later, I said, "Joe, I think, if you guys are still interested in me, I think, things are a little bit calmer in my life, and I'd like to be considered." So that's how I got started with our conference.
No, and that's awesome. And two things that you mentioned. One, it was the invitation, and how important that is, not only to us that, I know both you and Deacon Kevin from Senior Round Church, and I know your involvement in Scouts and other things in the parish in the past, and how involved we can be sometimes, and the importance it is to invite others to take part in that, and a lot of the things that I'm involved in today are direct result of invitations that were given to me, and I in turn try to do the same thing when I either see a need or see somebody that might be interested in something that I'm involved in, to just put that invitation out there and then leave the invitation there and let the Holy Spirit see how they follow through. Sometimes, like in your case, I'm sure Joe is excited to hear your yes, that you're ready to join up right away. But, it's not on us to figure out what that response is going to be, but to allow the Holy Spirit to work on them. And the other thing is that you're mentioning of that call to holiness that came out of and reaffirmed in Vatican II, that we're all called to holiness. And I find it interesting that as an outsider to the St. Vincent de Paul Society would think that it's you get together and you have meetings and figure out what you're going to do to help those that come to you. And hadn't thought about, the idea that your first thing and your first priority really is for the sanctification of all the members of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. And then it's through that holiness that you're able to achieve the things that you do.
Right. It's a, this is a spiritual journey that we're on together with the poor. We need to see Christ in those we serve, and that's how we do it. And Kevin mentioned the person to person, in the home, each member serves the poor directly, person to person, and has a deep concern for the poor, for the people who care for the poor. So it's a great organization, and our conferences were organized. District. So we're in the Montgomery County District, and then the Montgomery County District and the other counties' districts are all formed under the Philadelphia Central Council. So we have a great network. We are communicating with the other conferences all the time. We have what we call twinning when we have a need that maybe we can't meet within our own conference. We will twin with another conference to provide the support or come up with the sort of support that we need for a particular case. And it's nice that we get together. We just recently had a retreat down at the Vincentian Seminary down there in Germantown for organized by by our central council. And then we have a one or two meetings a year with all the conference presidents and vice presidents come together and share resources and good information.
Is it fair to say that most of the parishes in this area would have their own conferences within a parish?
Well, that's a good point. Several do, many don't, and it does present a challenge for us. In the area, you might have a parish, large parish in some cases, that does not have a conference. Now, they do a lot of great work. They have other organizations within their parish that help to serve the need. But as far as St. Vincent de Paul conferences, no, not every parish does. Every conference is part of a parish, but not every parish has a conference. And that creates a challenge when we get a request for help. So if somebody's in an area, a parish that doesn't have a conference, then, we talk with the other conferences and, try not to duplicate the effort and to make sure that we're being, as efficient and effective.
Very good. So is it a case if somebody were to have or feel that they have a, because it really is a vocation, would have a vocation to the St. Vincent de Paul Society, is it the case where sometimes members from one parish may join, if they don't have a conference within their parish, join the conference of another parish? Or is it...
I know there's conferences out in the Phoenixville area, I think, where they actually have a... come up with a consolidated conference in that area, serving multiple parishes. And that's that seems to work real well for them. But the idea of someone from a neighbor parish coming and joining St. Luke's conference, I haven't seen that in our own conference, but it would make sense to do that.
Okay. Very good. So in case you joined us after we got started, my guests today are Deacon Kevin Potter and Sam Kuchera. They're both involved with the St. Vincent de Paul Conference in my home parish, St. Luke the Evangelist, and we brought them in today because we are celebrating the feast of St. Vincent de Paul, the gentleman who dedicated most of his life and certainly all of his ordained life to caring for the poor and doing so directly. Before we go to the next topic, I'm thinking maybe we'll take our break now, and then we'll come back to Kevin and Sam when we return. So we're just going to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. This is your host, Ken Johnston. I'll be with you for the next half hour of this show. And then coming up at 5:30, I'm going to be joined by Donald McClary. And we'll be talking about the priests at Dachau that were gathered up and spent a number of years during World War II in a concentration camp there. So something to look forward to at 5 o'clock. Also, on a sadder note, I want to continue to ask for your prayers for Kevin Gale. Many of you listen to Brian Gale, who's here on Mondays at 4 o'clock. And you may have heard already this week, but just in case, he his brother Kevin Gale suffered an accident, a surfing accident, over the weekend and is now paralyzed from the neck down. So we would ask you to keep Kevin and all the Gale family in your prayers. I also learned in one of the emails that came out that Kevin had also lost his wife and daughter in a tragic accident not too many years ago. So another tragedy in the Gale family. So I just ask you to keep Kevin and all the Gales in your prayers. If you haven't visited InHisSign.com recently, come on out and check it out. You'll also find both the ministry, In His Sign Catholic Radio, and our show in particular, Saints and Sinners on In His Sign, on Facebook. Also, if you'd like to make a donation to Our House Ministries or maybe sponsor one of our shows, please visit OurHouseMinistries.org and look for the donate page. Each week, I like to give a little plug for Calyx as well, a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs. We meet every Tuesday in Grace Ferry, the neighborhood in South Philadelphia, and we gather in the Annex building to St. Gabriel's Parish. The building itself is on the corner of 30th and Dickinson Street, and the entrance is around the corner on Myrtlewood. Come on up to the third floor on Tuesdays at 6 o'clock for a short adoration period, followed by Mass, and then our Calyx meeting. We have a new unit that's meeting at St. Patrick's in Norristown. They get together there on the second and fourth Saturday, and they get together for the Vigil Mass at 4 p.m., and then they have a Calyx meeting in the school after. So, again, that's St. Patrick's in Norristown, the second and fourth Saturday of each month, starting with the 4 o'clock Mass. The unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown has started up again, and they're going to meet on the first and third Tuesday of each month, beginning at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. So that's Queen of the Universe, first and third Tuesday at 7 in the Parish Center. And also got an email this week that my friends Harry and Cindy that are at Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary and Media are going to get that unit going again in October. They meet on the second Monday of the month, so they're going to get together on October the 9th. And they begin with the Rosary at 6:15 p.m. in the Adoration Chapel, followed by the Calyx meeting in the brick building across the lawn at 7. All the information about the Philly units can be found at phillycalyx.com. And we also have a unit in Wilmington, Delaware. They get together every Wednesday, so they're going to get together tonight at St. Matthew's Church. For details about that unit, you can visit calyxde.org. That's calyxde.org. Calyx is the Latin word for chalice, and our motto is that we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. So, we'll get back to our guest today. Again, I've been joined by Deacon Kevin Potter and Sam Kachera, both friends from my home parish, St. Luke the Evangelist in Glenside, and both members of the St. Vincent de Paul Conference in that parish. So before we went to the break, we were talking about the conferences that they're set up at the parish level, but every parish wouldn't have one, and that
a little bit about the history and the idea that there's over a million members worldwide is pretty cool. And one of the things I wanted to talk about in this segment is some of the work that that you actually do, and maybe some examples, Sam or Kevin, of some of the work that the Society does.
Sure. Generally requests for aid would come in through our rectory. Someone will stop by or call St. Luke's Rectory, and our parish secretary will gather, you know, a little bit of information, contact information, and forward it on to me. And we make a wide-ranging request, you know, maybe trouble with a medical bill or short on food, some rental assistance, any number of things. So a call would come in, and I would follow up. I'd make a phone call with the neighbor, and we would go over some basic information, and then I would ask two members of our conference, two Vincentians, to schedule a home visit. The home visit is very important, and at that point, we would meet with the neighbor and pray, discuss their needs, maybe go over their budget, and leave, make a recommendation to their group, and, you know, it might be some more discussion on that, and then we see what help we can provide. So, you know, get a couple calls a week, and it keeps us pretty busy. We also have some neighbors maybe refer to us through our central council. They have an office up at in East Norton, and we have a person up there that takes phone calls and answers emails, and if a call comes into central, then they will redirect it to one of the conferences.
Very good. So it sounds like the ways that people would get in touch with you if they themselves or somebody they knew were to be in need of assistance, that maybe try at the parish level first to see if your own parish has a St. Vincent de Paul Society, and then if not, to try and get in touch with that that central organization. And I don't know if you have contact information for the central office by chance, Sam.
I can get you that in a minute.
Yeah, no problem. But, you know, it's just a wonderful way of people helping people, and especially at the parish level. And these are things that go on, and unless you know somebody that's on the council in their particular parish, that I don't think that this is an organization that goes around tooting their own horn and really publicizing all the good that they do. And I just know from my own experience, I had two good friends over the years that were involved there at St. Luke's, in Jerry Haggerty and Steve Severin. So not only were they great men in the St. Vincent de Paul, but they were just great men in general who I still look up to. I just saw when I was looking in the bulletin this week that there's a mass for Steve on a Friday morning. And so these were guys that I know live the spiritual life of St. Vincent de Paul in all that they did, not just when they were doing the work for the parish, but in their individual lives, the people that they helped. So, you know, the work that you do is just outstanding, and we don't always, like I said, we don't always get to hear about it or know what you do. So I think it's awesome that you were able to make time today to come and join us. So I know that one of the things that's going on in our parish is coming up on Saturday is the walk that's going on to raise funds to support the work that you do. And maybe a little bit about the walk.
Sure. The Friends of the Poor Walk, the Society of DePaul, U.S. A has been doing this for several years now. This is about our fourth year at St. Luke's. And it's, yes, we like to raise money, but more importantly, because we have very generous contributors in our parish, and we do get a bump from the walk. But the main thing is really raising awareness. And that's what the walk is meant to do, between promoting the walk to our parish, putting some signs up throughout the neighborhood, and the actual walking through the neighborhood. We're really just mainly trying to raise awareness. There's no, it's very simple sign up. We have basically just, you know, a waiver form you sign, but there's no fee. We take a free will donation and do a 1 mile walk through the neighborhood. And that's coming up this Saturday, September 30th, at 9 a.m., following our 8:30 a.m. Mass. We'll gather in the parking lot at St. Luke's, which is right there in Glenside, near Mount Carmel and Easton Roads. The parking lot's right off of Roberts Avenue. And, you know, it's a nice time to just meet up with other people and raise awareness.
Very good. And I saw the link that was published in the Church Bulletin on Sunday. So to learn about the walk in general, the website is fopwalk.org. That's FOP, Friends of the Poor, .org. You can do a search by state, and you can find not only the walk at St. Luke's, but there may be others in your own parish you may not be aware of. So fopwalk.org. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring folks, you can do that there as well. You can also register for the walk online. I did that this morning myself for St. Luke's. So if you are interested, in addition to the awareness that Sam's talking about, and certainly that's first and foremost, but like everything that goes on in this world, it often takes money, just like this radio show, it takes money to keep us going. Your financial donations won't hurt. And if you don't have anybody else to sponsor, you can go to that website, and where it's got Find a Walker, plug in Ken Johnston. You'll find me and make a small donation. I'll be out there with Kevin and Sam on Saturday morning walking through the neighborhood there in Glenside and raising awareness for the St. Vincent de Paul Society.
Yeah, that's great, Kevin. Yeah. And it's it should be a nice nice morning in the low 60s. Should be a great morning.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I got to call and just cancel my haircut appointment. That's all. the clock on the wall reads about 4:42. So we got about 15 minutes left before we go to the next show. And I thought, Kevin, you still with us?
Yeah, I wanted to point something out, Ken, if I could.
Sure.
Before he had a question, you know, the great thing about the St. Vincent de Paul Society is it is a lay organization. It was founded by a layman. It's organized by laymen. It's run by laymen. We support the priests in the parishes, but it is run, and its spirituality is for the laity. So it really is that universal call to holiness.
And I don't know if I, when I introduced you, if I mentioned it, I think I mentioned it, but you're as a deacon now, or the spiritual advisor to the conference there at St. Luke's. So is that a common thing with the conferences at the various parishes where they'll have a dedicated spiritual advisor?
Yeah, each conference, because it is a society, it does have a rule similar to religious orders. And there is a spiritual advisor for each conference. I actually got tapped on the shoulder, as Sam mentioned, about the same time Sam did, and just out of the blue, somebody said, "Hey, we think you should join the St. Vincent de Paul Society," and I knew absolutely nothing about it. And at the time, it was before I even started my formation process to go on to ordination as a deacon, and it had a tremendous impact on me personally, and brought me to the permanent diaconate for sure. But most conferences do have a spiritual advisor. I was a lay spiritual advisor. Doesn't have to be religious. There are lay spiritual advisors. But also, the interesting part for me is, you know, now that I'm ordained, I can't vote anymore because it is a lay organization. And as clergy, I don't get a vote. So I can provide spiritual guidance and, you know, lend a listening ear and offer opinions, but the actual workings and business of the conference is totally in the hands of the laity. It's beautiful.
Nah, it's interesting. And I think it works the same way, as you know, when you came down and attended my profession as a Franciscan, it sounds very similar that we have, you know, we'll have spiritual advisors and even the Franciscan fraternities because of the priest shortage, not only in diocesan priests, but in some of the orders that they're moving towards formation programs now for lay spiritual advisors to fill that need. So, that was one of the questions I had, you know, how much of a role did your involvement in the St. Vincent de Paul Society have to do with your vocation as to the diaconate? And it sounds like it played a pretty significant role.
Absolutely, absolutely. Working with Vincentians, working with the poor, you know, as a deacon, you know, we're ministers of word, the altar, and service and charity. But our biggest charism is charity, so it definitely fostered within me a greater sense of charity. It gave me an appreciation for the poor. More so than I expected.
Very good. And I know it was as a parishioner there at St. Luke's that we're blessed to have you as our deacon. I talked to you soon after because I couldn't stay until the end of the ordination in June. And I found it interesting that all the deacons that were ordained that day actually were assigned, I believe, back to their home parishes. So we're, or at least their first selection. So we were... you know, really have gratitude for the fact that the Archbishop has assigned you back to St. Luke's and, you know, the great job that you're doing there, not only for the St. Vincent de Paul Society, but for all of us in the pews. So we thank you for your yes to that vocation, because so many times I think people are called. I don't think the priest shortage is because of a lack of people being called. I think it's just a lack of awareness that people are being called. You know, and your yes will definitely have an impact on a lot of people. So we want to thank you and thank God for
thank
your presence.
Thank my wife, Ellen, also.
Oh, absolutely. You know, behind every good deacon, there's a better wife, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I can add, we're just thrilled that Kevin and Ellen are staying at St. Luke's. And I want to really give a shout out to our pastor, Father Joe Brandt. He's a, you know, we are a lay organization. We do keep it on some arm's length relationship with some things. Our finances are kept separate and so on. But Father Brandt is just an awesome cheerleader for our organization. And he's always either writing something in the bulletin or saying something up at the pulpit. To support our efforts, and we're really blessed to have that kind of support. When you talked about not every parish having a conference, well, you know the pastors have a big role in that. So we're started. I know it goes way back, but when I first joined the conference, it was Father Monsignor Flood, and you know, same thing. He was a big supporter for us, and you know, valued our relationship and the role we play in the parish. And but you know, their support is really critical for us to be able to operate and do, you know, do our good work.
Very good. You mentioned earlier that there was a recent retreat that took place at the seminary, and most people would I think when they think of the seminary for the Vincentians, think of the shrine to the Miraculous Medal over on Chelten Avenue. How much of a role does the Vincentian Order play in this society. I would think that they, you know, would help you with, you know, things like those retreats. But are they any more involved than that?
Well, you know, they're part of the Vincentian family, so having our retreat down at the seminary, of course, now it's primarily a home for aged priests there on the same property down there by the Miraculous Metal Shrine. You know, Father Jack was our retreat master. You know, it was an awesome retreat. You know, it's the third time I've gone down there for that. And, you know, I just get so much out of it.
Yeah, as I think most of our people in this area, especially in the Philadelphia area, if you're not aware of it and have never been, especially on Mondays, I think they have daily mass there at noon, but especially on Mondays when people gather for the Miraculous Metal Novena. And they have, like you said, a number of Vincentian priests there. A lot of them are older and ailing now and not able to get over to the church, but they'll have guest priests that come in from New York and New Jersey to preach the homilies on those Mondays. And just an awesome place to be. It's played a huge role in my ongoing conversion, especially early on in the early 90s when I came back to the faith. So if you're interested in the Vincentian lifestyle, the Vincentian spirituality, definitely a place to look at. And if you're someone who's been looking to get involved and don't know where you're being called, you've always wanted to do something for somebody and weren't quite sure how to go about it, you might want to think about hooking up with one of your local conferences of the St. Vincent de Paul Society. So we have just a couple minutes left, fellas. I don't know if any final thoughts you wanted to share before we wrap up. Kevin?
I just would ask folks or the listeners there to pray for the efforts of all Vincentians. It is challenging. They do sometimes go into some interesting homes, you know, but just pray for them because they really need that kind of support.
Very good. Sam?
Yep, I just think this is was a great I was a little nervous to tell you the truth today when Kevin said, "Wait, what about doing a call-in show with Ken today?" I'm like, okay, but then you told me the Holy Spirit would get us through this, and sure enough, never fails.
He always does, and I think you could. But I know both of you could probably attest to it that anything that we do in life, that if God calls us to do something, that it's always preceded by the grace that we need in order to make it happen. So I'm really glad that we were able to work this out. I got up this morning. I had an email from another gent that was thinking about joining me but couldn't. And my prayer was answered almost immediately with the name of Kevin coming to mind. And I'm just really glad that we were able to make this happen. And not just for your own efforts there at St. Luke's, but for all of our listeners so they have a better idea of what goes on in parish life and how important it is that there's not only the St. Vincent de Paul Society, but any number of other organizations within the parish that can always use a lending hand. So if you're somebody that comes to Mass on Sunday and that's it, that's great. But if you're looking to do more, you know, please consider the St. Vincent de Paul Society or check out your parish bulletin and maybe there's another organization that you might fit into and get more involved. I know sometimes, like Sam was saying earlier, when he was first called to get involved with the St. Vincent de Paul Society, he had to give him a no because of some of the other things he's involved in. And I've been there myself. But if the opportunity comes up and somebody taps you on the shoulder and asks you, it might be that God's calling you to stretch a little bit, maybe try to do some things that you haven't thought about doing in the past, and you never know what rewards will come from it. So I want to thank Deacon Kevin Potter, the spiritual advisor, and Sam Kuchera, the president of the St. Luke's Conference, for being with us today and sharing what they do there at St. Luke's with the St. Vincent de Paul Society. So thanks, fellas. It was great to have you. And maybe around this time next year, we can get you back on.
Thanks, Ken.
All right, pal.
Thanks, Ken.
You're welcome, Sam. You're welcome, Kevin. And I'm sure I'll see you around Glenside real soon.
Amen.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
So I want to thank Kevin and Sam for being with us today and sharing their experience, strength, and hope that they've had with the St. Vincent de Paul Society. I find it interesting that in both cases, that was something that they were invited to do, that it wasn't something that they sought out. And just curious if our listeners out there, if you've been invited and have thought about doing something and not done it, or thought about it and did do it. And what are you being invited to? And have you been invited by somebody directly? Or maybe it's God that's in one way or another is sending along an invitation for you to grow closer to Him through prayer, through the sacraments. Or maybe it is through active participation in an organization, either at the parish level or the diocese level. You know, it's in all these things that we do grow closer to God. And so much of what's going on in the world today, it can be difficult. And we often, at least I find, need God now more than ever. And these organizations offer an opportunity to do that with other folks, other like-minded folks that may be on the same path that you are. And this probably the single biggest thing I got out of the conversation that we had today about the St. Vincent de Paul Society that I didn't know before was that they do have a rule that they're a lay religious organization first, and they live that rule, but that part of it is to express that charity to their neighbors. And that opportunity to live in the world, much like myself and the Franciscans, that God leaves us in the world. We're not called away from the world, but left in the world in order to draw people closer to God. So that's what we do here at In His Sign Radio, and we're going to continue to do that in the next hour. So I want to thank you for being with me this first segment today, and go away. We're going to be joined in a few minutes by Mr. Don McClary, and we're going to be talking about the priests that were held captive there in Dachau during World War II. Don't go away. We'll be right back.